air taxi services, very light jets, and the outlooks for Latin America and the Middle East. A few minutes with Oscar Garcia. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Oscar Garcia, who is the chairman of Interflight Consulting and also functions as the chairman of selected MIU conferences based on the very light jet sector. Oscar may be best known recently by Aero News readers and Aero TV viewers as the chairman of the recent Very Light Jets Latin America and the Caribbean Conference, which was held in South Florida, run by MIU Events. We also have the opportunity to talk to Oscar about his recent trip to the Middle East Business Aviation Conference in Dubai, which turned out to be a very interesting conference, especially as regards the commerce that went on there in light of the current global economic situation. Oscar, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your busy day to talk to our listeners today.
Thank you very much. Certainly, it's a pleasure for me to be here, and I'd like to share some views that might be insightful and even might become some useful tools for people going back to drafting boards and their businesses.
Well, let's talk first about your conference in South Florida, because Latin America appears to be one of the bright spots over the next few years in an industry that in every other case is expecting at least a short-term downturn.
Yes, exactly. Latin America is a couple of years below what we see in Europe and the U.S., which means that they are not as big or as advanced in terms of operational and financial tools. However, they have the hindsight to be a little bit behind of the speed of business. Therefore, they can learn from some of the mistakes made in the U.S. and Europe and correct them in time to continue their growth. And as a matter of fact, even though there are only 2,500 jet-powered aircraft in Latin America, that sector of the industry is very robust and is growing at a moderate but steady pace, which is in some cases very interesting.
One of the market segments on which the very light jet industry appears to be counting is the air taxi model, business model. Now, there have been a few glitches in that in the U.S. I think the biggest one people are aware of was DayJet, which announced just after the conference that it was going to file for bankruptcy. But Ed Iacobucci has said all along that the model worked. It was just a matter of not having access to the capital to expand. Other people have pointed to some of the other air taxi operators and found it difficult to find any that are actually turning a profit yet. Let me ask you in two parts. Do you see that industry turning around in the U.S., and is there a bigger opportunity perhaps for that model in Latin America?
Well, yes, those are very, very good questions and excellent viewpoints. Let me start from the beginning. Regarding the air taxi situation in Latin America, I estimate about 1,200 turbine-powered air taxis or charters, if you will, are operating in Latin America. And again, that sector of the industry is doing well. When you come to the very light jet segment, in Latin America, there are about 40 or 50 very light jets in firm order and another 450 optional. But the current air taxis operating the VLJs are in Mexico and Brazil primarily, and a couple of smaller ones in Chile, Argentina, and Colombia. Those are doing well. And we go back to what I was saying before. The business models in Latin America are simpler, but they are also more robust. They are not as highly leveraged, and they are not as risky as what we see here or in Europe, which takes us back to the DayJet case. DayJet is an outlier of the air taxi business. It's not representative of the industry at large because they tried an innovative method of per seat on demand, which basically nobody else is doing. If you look at the air charter industry in the U.S., even though the number of hours have decreased, there's been some falling out of the bottom of the older and aircraft and the weaker air charter operators. But there are many strong people doing great business. Look at ExoJet, for instance, in California, doing great. So even though there's been a cleansing a little bit of the weaker contenders with older airplanes, the air charter industry traditionally is doing well. Now, when we go to innovative air taxis, introducing highly leveraged business models depending heavily on finance, where any hiccup will trigger the cash flows into the red, we come up with the DayJet example. It's a very risky, innovative, highly leveraged, cash flow dependent model, which in the a financial meltdown we are watching in the U.S. was just a victim of it. I'll tell you, Paul, that I used Payjet. I was a member and I've used them on occasion. The business model was sound. The service was beyond expectations. And like Ed says many times, it did work, except that it was so highly leveraged and dependent on capital that the hiccup we are seeing in the industry took it out of the game. And it's sad, but it's as simple as that.
There are a couple of air taxi companies that are being described as kind of success examples in the industry. One is Sats Air, which appears to be on the verge of profitability. And one that was talked about quite a bit at your conference was Linear Air. What is their story and how are they able to grow as rapidly as they are?
Exactly. Sats Air is a very interesting success story, which shows that the air taxi industry is independent of the equipment used. They use Cirrus SR22 single-engine pistons, and they are doing very well. So the market is saying they want quality, value, pricing, and the equipment is secondary. And we knew that when the VLJs came into market. The VLJ is a great tool, but it's not enough to justify new business models. So Sats Air is a success story. They are taking a lot of the market that Payjet used to use, and I happen to know them well, and I respect them very much. And Linear Air is simply, in my view, is a darling of the industry. It's how air taxis should be managed, run, marketed, and financed. Bill Herb, who I know for years, is showing the investment community and showing the markets that if you have a conservative business model where you charter the aircraft or in very dense routes you aggregate passengers, you can be very successful. But if you look at their fleet numbers, if you look at their growth targets, if you look at their cash reserves, if you look at how they manage the company with data and accuracy with levels that are seldom seen in the industry, they have a sound business model. That's on the very light jet sector. They also use Cessna Caravans. But on the other end of the spectrum, if you look at ExoJet in California, innovative charter business model with a global, with the Challenger 300 and Citation 10s. The same elements I described for Linear Air are applied in ExoJet, and the results are impressive. So if you look at the pyramid, what you are seeing on the bottom is a dropout of basically the weaker competitors using all their equipment. But in the middle of the pyramid of air charter, there is a robust base of operators and users that are committed to using air taxis and air charter for their lifestyles and business. So I'm cautiously optimistic that this financial crisis will have certainly an effect, but not even close to affecting the growth of the air charter industry.
My guest today is Oscar Garcia, who is chairman of Interflight Consulting and also of selected MIU conferences focused on the very light jet sector. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Platt. We're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Black here with Oscar Garcia, chairman of Interflight Consulting and also chairman of selected MIU conferences focused on the very light jet sector. We're talking about very light jets, the air taxi industry. And Oscar, you had the unique opportunity to be on hand for the Middle East Business Aviation Conference in Dubai. And I think many people in the world were kind of startled to see how much commerce was done there. There was $1.5 billion in new orders announced. And I think the question we all had was, given the oil prices that are now about a third what they were at their peak during the summer, Can this spending spree last, and was it just Middle Eastern countries buying aircraft?
Well, thank you, Paul. Yes, I had the opportunity to fly to Dubai pretty much straight out from the VLJ conference in Miami, and I tell my clients and in general that Dubai and Miami are the same city, except that they are in different parts of the world. Latin America, Miami caters to Latin America and the Caribbean, and Dubai caters to the Middle East region and the Indian subcontinent. Those two parts of the world are very similar in terms of their use of private aviation. Latin America has a fleet of 2,500 turbine airplanes and a growth of 15-20% per year. The Middle East has double the growth, about 40% per year, and a fleet approaching 500, but growing rapidly. What I sense at NIBA is similar to what I see in Latin America. The business models are more conservative, are more old-fashioned, if you will, but they are heavily capitalized. The equity levels are high, the leverage is low. Therefore, even though the economy is a little bit weaker there, like everywhere else, but the business models are robust, and the orders flowed in. I think we saw orders of $1.5 billion, where in a normal economy, we would have seen probably $2.5 billion. So the pinch is noticeable there, but still, even with the decreasing growth, the numbers speak for themselves. I was very impressed with the quality of the operators in the Middle East, in all the Gulf region, as well as India, which is very well represented.
I guess the question I'm left with is how much of the business, the growth in business aviation activity in the Middle East is based in oil profits? In other words, is the expansion, the rate at which this business segment can expand, based on the rise and fall of oil prices, or is it somewhat independent of that?
Well, mainly the economy in that part of the world is oil and gas and some natural resources, which are very strong assets. And in an economy based on a fundamental a product like that, you have a robust economy. What you see in the Middle East is that these business jets are becoming integral tools of people doing business there with the natural resources. But what you see as well is the development of cities like Dubai, where every other service industry is gravitating to those cities because the infrastructure is being built, and also the air infrastructure with private jets is being built. For instance, you have investors coming to the Middle East to invest in the Middle East because they have easy access with their private jets. Because once they are there, they can jump in a private jet and quickly be anywhere they need to be, in India, in Kuwait, in Bahrain, in Oman. And my sense, and I talked to several clients there and associates, is that private aviation is part of the development of the Gulf region as much as the cell phones are, as much as wireless technology. So it's like Latin America. The infrastructure leapfrog, it goes from roads and bridges and railroads. It goes straight into private aviation. So that has a lot to do with it.
Now, one of the things we've noticed during the course of 2008 is that infrastructure in that region is growing at a breathtaking, breath-removing pace. I mean, it looks as though there may be a risk that this is being overbuilt for the amount of volume that will actually occur in the area. Is that a concern that you share?
Yes, it is. I mean, you just have to land in Dubai and look at the skyline, and you wonder who is going to fill up all these buildings, who is going to pay all these mortgages. Again, the financing comes from a source of capital that is going to last for 20 or 30 more years, which is oil. But what I also was very impressed is to see the amount of service industry that is being placed in particular in Dubai. You have, for instance, the Internet City, where every name from Google to Yahoo to 3M to IBM is represented. Then you have Media City, where all the TV stations and satellite channels are there. And then you have even a medical industry developing now for medical tourism. So, you know, you see that there is things other than oil being developed. But again, the key in terms of aviation is that everything that is being developed there has a tremendous connectivity based on air travel, whether it's Emirates Airlines or Etihad, or down to the smallest business jets available for charter. The air connectivity that you see in that area, and same thing we see in Latin America, is enabling everything else. Now, will all this infrastructure be successful and occupied and paid for? We will see, but they are their own bankers. They finance them themselves with oil revenues, so they are not at risk of being placed on distress, say, from investors from outside of the country. So we will see. I expect a slowdown, and there was a slowdown in the real estate development at MIBA last week. To what extent? Maybe it's taking 10 or 20% of the growth, but it's still growing.
I guess the other question about Dubai, I have some associates who travel the world in the resource industries, and they have commented that despite the outward appearance of the government structure in Dubai and the form of government that is in effect there, they have commented to me, more than one person has commented to me, that it is the most democratic place on the planet to do business, that the business environment there is protected by, on one hand, very strict consequences for breaking the law, but on the other hand, a somewhat unfettered hand to operate your business as long as you stay within the rules. Do you think there's any chance that a change in the regime in the United Arab Emirates could cause this all to come down?
Well, that's a good question. My clients are mostly in the aviation industry and aerospace industry, and certainly you have two standards there. You have the free trade zones, where basically any foreign company can operate like they would in places like Switzerland or Luxembourg, and then you have the local zone, where basically there are some local rules for doing business. So you operate in one of the free trade zones, the risk of anything happening is minimal, close to nil. Now, you come out of that and can become a strong player locally with a partner, or then you enter the legal jurisdictions and the legal issues that you were mentioning. My experience from my clients and my contacts there in the aviation industry is that when they operate in free trade zones, it's a no-brainer. Now, in some cases where they have partnered with local investors or they are working for local firms, there are some local idiosyncrasies that need to be dealt with. Like any other developing country, there are some levels of corruption, some levels of formalities or of interests that flow under the flotation line. But the results are visible. You have companies like Jet Aviation, ExecuJet, blossoming there and doing very well. So it will be in the best benefit for the governments to keep a continuity and a level of stability, which in turn, back to Latin America, is the main problem in Latin America. When you exit the Brazil, Mexico, and Chile, you come into countries that are up and down, and that is slowing the progress of aviation in Latin America, to a lesser extent in the Middle East. But again, look at the numbers. Middle East pushing 500 jet touring power aircraft. Latin America is pushing 25, 26, 2800. So even with all these structural risks and problems, there is growth. Now imagine if that gets better, there will be more growth.
In closing here, tell us what you have coming up on your near-term calendar.
I personally chair Interflight Consulting, which is one of the world's most focused aviation consulting companies, with a very, very strong practice on the very light jet industry. So that's my involvement, and I hope my insights are helpful to some, and I'm open to take calls or emails from people who might be interested in discussing further.
And we'll facilitate that by linking our listeners to Interflight Consulting through the data block which accompanied this Aerocast. Oscar Garcia is the chairman of Interflight Consulting and also of selected MIU conferences focused on the very light jet sector. Oscar, thanks so much for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Thank you very much, Paul. Look forward to it, and to everybody. My advice is to ride through this period of time, and we'll all emerge stronger once the challenges of financing and the challenges of the global economy are sorted out.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.